okay, so, you know, Bill asked me to speak tonight, and, you know, this week I was talking, I talked to the men in the men's meeting, and, you know, the messages Bill's been preaching has really been speaking to me a lot lately, and so, you know, when God speaks to us, it's up to us to act on what He's talking to us about, to apply it to our lives and continue going forward. And then as we do that, that's going to help us grow in our relationship with Jesus. And so I've been, you know, obviously we know the last several months has been totally different, you know, and how we all have to live, we do, everything we is changing, you know. And we were talking about this the other day. It's just no different than from when I was in school, you know. I've been out of school for 24 years. And the things that has changed since I was a kid, you know, just the simple things that you can think about. One of the biggest things that I think has changed is our communication. You think about it. When I was in high school, we didn't have cell phones. I mean, our parents trusted us that when they told us we were coming home or where we were going, that's where we were. We didn't have a phone to pick up to call our parents and say, "Hey, I'm out here in the woods." You know what I'm saying? Or I may be, you know, wherever we were, we didn't have a phone to pick up and do it. You know, our parents had to trust us. And I was wondering, like, man, how different that is like today. Like with my kids, even my older kids has always had phones, where I can communicate with them. And I'm thinking, you know, it's so different from how we go to school, our jobs, everything that we do is changing. And so this scripture just kept speaking to me, you know, as far as changing. And I was like, you know, Ecclesiastes chapter 1 is where we're going to be tonight. And so as we know, we're going to be listening to what Solomon is telling us. And we know in Solomon in Scripture, what was Solomon? It says he was one of the wisest men there was. And so, is things really changing? And I guess this is something for us. I mean, for our comfort zone and where we're at in life, yes, things are changing. But I started reading this Scripture, and it just kind of made me think, is it really changing, or has it always been this way? And so I want us to look in Scripture, because I know one thing that has not changed and that holds the same today as it did back then is our Heavenly Father. And so I think maybe we change as a person, and we change things, and we seek after things that causes us to change, but that has not changed from the beginning of time. And so we know the same, I mean, as Christians, the same Satan that was trying to control and rule back in is the same one that today that he's using technology and all this other stuff to keep us sidetracked, to trying to keep us away from our relationship with Jesus. And so I just want to read this scripture tonight, because I believe with anything that God's trying to tell us something. And so, in Scripture, in first verse, in chapter 1, we'll start in verse 1, or actually, I'll start in verse 2. It says, in verse 2, it says, "Everything is meaningless," says the teacher, "completely meaningless. What do people get out of all their hard work under the sun?" I started thinking about that. What do we get out of our hard work, you know? I mean, we all get a lot of stuff, right? I mean, since I've been a little boy, sports was a very passionate thing of mine. I mean, from when I was born, I lived across from a baseball field. I grew up across from a baseball field. So from the age of 3 years old, when I could go, I'd go over to the baseball fields, and there's always somebody practicing. It could be older, younger, whatever. But I was always at the baseball field. I'd climb over the fence, and there was, you know, being a coach or anybody, any of y'all got kids that's grown up and playing sports, you always don't have all your players, so I'd just go out and shag balls. I'd be the one that was just one helping, but I lived at the baseball field. So growing up from even a young age, I mean, it was a passion of mine and a desire of mine to always work hard to be the best. You know, I honestly, how many of us in here wants to be recognized? Maybe no more. No, none of y'all don't want to be recognized no more. I mean, as we're growing up, as you're working, you know, you want to be recognized. You want someone to recognize you. You want to move up the ladder. And so I started thinking about that. Where does that get us, though, at the end? At the end of the day, who are we really working hard for? And so as I've got older and I got where I couldn't be as athletic, I think God really started speaking to me. You know, once I got out of school and stuff, what is all this for? And it's really, to me, everything's meaningless. If you're not doing it for God, if you're not trying to glorify Him, everything that we do has no meaning. Our life is short-lived here. I mean, you think about it. However many years that we live here, you know, some people don't have the gratitude to live to be. You know, when I was at Star City, my secretary, the secretary, her name was Polly, Miss Polly. Sweet lady. And when I was there as a youth pastor, she was 90 years old and still the secretary at the church. And I thought, I didn't know she was 90 when I first got there. I thought, holy cow, you know? And I'm thinking, you know, she's 90-something. She's like 95, 96 years old now. Still mowing her yard. And I'm thinking, you know, some people don't have that opportunity to live that long. Some people live, you know, you hear of infants. But at the end of the day, whatever we do, no matter how long we're on this earth, if we're not giving it to God, it has no meaning. And so for us, as we work, what are we working for? And it says generations come and generations go, but the earth never changes. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, John, how much stuff has changed since you've been born? I mean, Daryl, how much stuff has changed since you've been around? But he says the earth never changes. It says the sun rises and the sun sets, then hurries around to rise again. The wind blows south and then turns north. Around and round. It goes, blowing in circles. Rivers run into the sea, but the sea is never full. Then the water returns again to the rivers and flows out again to the sea. I mean, have we ever read that and just really think about it? Like, really? I mean, we didn't. You know, we serve an awesome God. You know, how the world is designed, how it spins. I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, I come in on a Sunday and Sam's like, I bet you didn't see this. And talking about the moon. You remember? I mean, you were on Lake Washita fishing that night. Or, I don't know what you were fishing that night. Me and the girls was out fishing. I took them out and we were catfishing. And dude, it was like 11 o'clock and you looked over the mountain ridge. And the moon just looked huge. It's just coming up. And you're like, we're this small. You know, we are so small in the whole scheme of what God has created. And you just start looking around and you never think about it. How good, how awesome our God is. You know, nothing ever changes. You know, everything, the rain, you never think, oh, it rains. Where's the rain go? You know, the Mississippi's flooding and going into the Arkansas. It's all flooding. It's going where? It's going down to the ocean, right? Once it hits the ocean, what's it done? It starts all over again. But nothing ever changes. It says, everything is wearisome. beyond description. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. How true is that? No matter what we see, what we do, what we accomplish, as human beings, we will never be satisfied. It's to me that that's where I share with my teens. You know, you can always find happiness in life, right? What's happiness? It's a temporary type of deal. You know, you can buy happiness. You can do things to cause you to be happy. I mean, when you're a teenager, you can find that special girl or special guy that makes you happy for that time being, right? That job, you get a new job, you're happy for a little while, and then it's a job, right? It becomes a job. But it says, no matter what we do, we're never satisfied. I mean, we can have a phone, and here before long, in a couple years, we got to have a new phone because we're not happy with our phone. I'm the world's worst. Vehicles. I've been out of school for 24 years, and I can probably guarantee you, if you ask any guy that's had any close relationship with me in the 24 years, I've probably owned 27 or 28 vehicles. I'm just ignorant when it comes to, you know, you're never satisfied. Oh, that's a cool truck. Oh, I'll fix it up. I'll sell it. That's a better truck, you know? And you're always just, you're never satisfied, right? You always got to have something else. It says, no matter how much we hear, we are never, you know, we are not content. I just wonder, does God, I mean, in our life, are we content with what God has to offer us? As a church, are we content with, if we didn't have anything else in our lives, are we content with God? And I can say honestly, probably in my life, I could probably say there's been times I could say, no. But I can tell you that God offers the only contentment that you'll ever have. I mean, when everything else fails, when there's nothing there, God is always there for us. And I don't think, until we realize that as a Christian, as a person that's seeking after our relationship with Jesus Christ, that we will never be content. We'll always be looking for things. And then the last scriptures here in verse 9, it says, history merely repeats itself. It has all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. Sometimes people say, here is something new. But actually, it is old. Nothing is ever truly new. If you just listen to that scripture, if we truly believe that what God says is the truth, and the scripture is the teetotal truth, and what is written in the truth, how can we read? I mean, you listen to that scripture. It says, sometimes people say, here is something new, but actually it is old. Nothing is ever truly new. And that just speaks to me that, you know what, guys? No matter what this world goes through at any point in time, what we're doing, God has seen it. God is in control. None of this is new. A pandemic or whatever may be taking place, it's nothing new to God. And I think as Christians, as a nation, we've got away from knowing that God's in control. God can snap His finger and it's all done. Our life is over. He can do that. Or He can heal like that. God is an amazing God. And I think as Christians, we have forgotten how awesome He is. We live for ourselves so much that this is what Solomon writes about in this scripture, that he was one of the richest men. He seeked after money. But you know what? No matter what you seek after, there's no fulfillment and joy like having Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so, Guys, this is just something that spoke to me tonight. It says in verse 11, we'll finish up with this verse. It says, we don't remember what happened in the past, and in the future generations, no one will remember what we are doing now. It's so true. So true. No matter how much I've been, you know, sold out to sports all my life, I can't look back and tell you, my senior year in high school when I played football, I can't look back and tell you, I can't even tell you who won the state championship that year. I can't even tell you who won championships in the past. And so, for us, the generations come and generations go, but what happened in the past, the future generations, no one will remember what we are doing now. But I can tell you this, guys, it does determine on what we do now what our future generations are going to be. Our generations that's coming, the ones that, if you turn around and look back there, right back there, that's the generation that's coming. And if we're not the ones that keep ourselves excited and fired up for what God has for us and what He's done for us, the future generations won't know what it means. And so, guys, it's our job, like I shared, Monday night, I said, you know, I shared this, it's like, the Johns and the Daryls, the Bills, they mean so much to our generation. Because we need people to look at and mentor after. Just like the younger generation needs someone like us to mentor us and look up to us at. Same as the women. We need everyone. And so, guys, it's very important for us to know that our job is not ever done here on earth. That until God calls us home, it's our job to be sold out to Christ. So our future generations know that. So just remember, guys, God is in control. God is a God that no matter what's going on in this nation or anywhere in this world, He knows what's going on. He's not blinded by it, but He needs Christians to stand beside Him and fight this battle for Him. And so, it's up to us, guys. It really is up to us. So, that's what I had to share with y'all tonight. Just remember, everything is meaningless without Christ in it. No matter what we do, no matter what it is, if we put Christ first, He'll shine through it all. Let's stand up and we'll close in prayer tonight. Brother Sam, will you close us in prayer tonight?
Lord, we just praise you, Lord. We just thank you for who you are. Thank you for come and dwell among men that we can learn of you. We just thank you, Lord, for your precious word. And Lord, we just thank you that we can always look to you, know you're in control. No matter what goes on, we know that, Lord, our stability and our contentment needs to be in our relationship with you as we walk with you and trust you and obey you, for there's no other way. And Lord, we can endure anything, we can face any problem, we can experience the joy through you as we have that a closer walk with thee. We just love you today, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for being. And we just want to praise you in all we do. These things rest in Christ's name. Amen.
Everyone said it?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.